all of the carbon regulations, needless carbon regulations that came out from the Obama administration, he set a process in motion to repeal them. It's kind of legalese, and it gets a little complicated, but the major part of that was the Clean Power Plan. That would have required new power plants to meet carbon emission standards that can't be met with current technology for coal. So it would pretty much put coal out of business for future power plants. So that will be done away. It's not as simple as saying, okay, I'm pulling this back because there's legal proceedings going on. But in effect, the Clean Power Plan, or what I used to call it, the Costly Power Plan, is gone. He's told his administration to take steps to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. And again, that's huge. That sets carbon limits that are needless, that have little impact on carbon emissions worldwide, and so that's gone. There's a policy that came up that the Obama administration came up with, no rulemaking on it, no public input, no industry input, and it's called the social cost of carbon. And if you're a contractor and you submit a bid to the federal government, or you're using fossil fuels in any way, you have to put an additive to your contract to take care of the quote-unquote social costs of carbon. So again, another negative thing toward fossil fuels, that's gone. EPA used what was called the endangerment finding. And this is the craziest one of all, Tom. You know, carbon dioxide, do you think that's dangerous? I mean, in certain levels it is, but we exhale carbon dioxide. It's the life cycle. And plants and trees inhale it, and they exhale oxygen. We need it to live. But that's the policy or the excuse that EPA used under Obama to regulate carbon dioxide. They said that carbon dioxide is an endangerment to the American people, and it needs to be controlled. So that's gone too. There's a couple of other smaller items too, but it was very, very comprehensive act that Trump did, and he's keeping his promise to the coal industry.
All right, now here's the thing, Phil. The portion about the power plants, because I had been curious about the, you know, Southern Illinois Power Cooperative here and being coal-fired, and what might be the ramifications of the presidential executive order earlier in the week, you know, because some other people had told me, no, this won't have an impact on power plants. It will have an impact on coal mines. And when I hear the package that was signed, I'm thinking, well, maybe there is something in there for the Southern Illinois Power Co-op and other coal-fired power plants in the state of Illinois.
No, this impacts power plants.
Okay.
Because the major point of the carbon emission standards was on power plants. And like I said, they came out with two standards. One, if you have an existing plant, you've got to take steps to reduce your carbon dioxide emissions, which would be costly to do. So SIPC, Prairie State, you know, power plants like that that use Illinois coal down in Southern Illinois, they are not going to have to implement costly measures to make minute changes in their carbon dioxide emissions. So that's a victory for the coal-burning power plants.
And the price of electricity. And the price of electricity, yeah.
Exactly, because then that's the whole thing that drives this, Tom, is that, you know, costly power plant. All of these things would cost consumers more money, and they would pay higher electric rates and be harmful to the economy. You know, coal, low-cost energy from coal has driven this economy in the United States for over 150 years, and it's been slowly eroding. When Obama took office, 52% of the country's power came from coal. Last year, it was 30%. And so, what doing away with the Clean Power Plan? It's not going to bring us back to where we were, but it was estimated that another 250 million tons of coal would not be needed because coal-burning power plants would have to shut down under the costly power plan. So we're saving that, you know, 250 million tons of coal that would have been lost had that policy been implemented.
There are two components that I feel aren't and have not been addressed yet. And one of those is just you and I talking about, because there are changes in the market price of natural gas. that have played a role. But we're also hearing about nuclear plants planning to shut down in the state of Illinois, a state that has more nuclear power than any other state of the union, its effect there. I mean, and then the plans that are already in place to shut down coal-fired power plants. There's so much momentum behind these past decisions, and this very much, the coal and coal-powered industry is an aircraft carrier. You cannot turn this around every day just on a dime. I mean, there's a lot of momentum out there, and decisions have to be made. It takes a while to implement these and to see any reality fall out that would help us, doesn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you owned a power company and you were looking forward to you're looking ahead 20 to 30 years, because that's the horizon they have to look at. You know, what's the demand going to be? Is there going to be a need for electricity? Then you determine, how am I going to produce it? Well, I think the answer, unfortunately, for coal is pretty easy. You have to go natural gas because it's easier to get a permit for that. You don't have the emissions issues that you have from coal. But here's the rub, Tom, and you know, natural gas 10 years ago, it was, you know, and that's not long, you know, natural gas prices were five times what they are today. And if you look at the history of pricing in natural gas for consumers, it spikes up and down. And there have been periods where it's been excessively high. We currently are in a period when natural gas prices are low, and it's become more plentiful because of fracking. Well, you know what the environmentalists are going after now?
Maryland
is to prevent fracking.
Maryland outlawed fracking earlier this week, Phil.
Exactly. So, you know, if you get to a case where now natural gas isn't as plentiful and the supply goes down and the demand goes up, where do prices go? Prices go up. And I think it's criminal to make electricity from natural gas. That should be used for heating people's homes in the winter. And, you know, remember 10 years ago when people couldn't pay their bills because their bills were coming in $500 or $600 a month.
Yep.
And these gas companies, these utilities, they don't care what the price is because they pass along the price to the consumer. They said, hey, that's the market price, and that's what I have to pass on to you. So I just don't think it's wise to jump on the natural gas bandwagon because history has shown that the price swings there can be pretty harmful for consumers and the economy.
There's another issue here when it comes to this, and that is new technologies like the ones devised at the SIU Coal Research Institute. That we have these, they've been dangled in front of us, the government has taken control of them, they've created partnerships, and they totally screwed the pooch. I mean, you can take a lot of examples. Oh, we're going to do this, and then just stop. We had some opportunities now, especially when it comes to coal from Southern Illinois, high sulfur, high BTU, burn less, but you've got the sulfur. If we find ways to clean this, and we have new ways now, making it cost prohibitive and setting the goals so far down the road that they're impractical doesn't work. But at least we can inch our way, and we do have new technologies, and they're sitting on the shelf, Phil.
Well, it's tragic. Say one word: future gen. That was a public-private partnership with the federal government to build a near-zero emissions power plant. Illinois was awarded the contract and it was something that started by George Bush in 2003. And here we are 14 years later. That plant should have been up and running. We could have been learning from it. Yes, it was expensive because it was cutting-edge technology. But as you build these and operate them, the technology improves and the price comes down. You know, that power plant should have been up and running in Mattoon 5 years ago, and it's a tragedy that it isn't, because that could have really helped coal, and it could have, you know, kept coal in the mix. And, you know, Obama dangled that one in front of us. You know, it was canceled under George Bush, if you can believe that.
Right.
But Obama resurrected it with a $1 billion funding in the stimulus package, but then it got taken away, and it's tragic. And that could have really helped the industry. And you're right. I mean, you're right next to one of the greatest coal research centers in the world. And all we need now is steel in the ground. We've done the research. We need steel in the ground. Get these things built and learn from their operations.
Is this week practical, or is it about morale when it came to the executive order? Which one do you feel is more important right now? I know that you have a tendency to lean towards as practical, but there's an element where, you know, when you've had in your industry, especially if you're a worker, man, woman goes underneath, that you feel, oh my God, I'm working my butt off here, and I got somebody else's hands around my neck. They're going to strangle the life out of my business. I mean, there's a morale component to this too.
Yeah, and I think that's what the key was this week, Tom. I mean, you get people. I mean, the job losses in Kentucky and West Virginia are huge. I mean, they've lost nearly half their workforce. I mean, our job losses in Illinois, you know, from beginning of 2015 to the end of last year was about 900 jobs, and that's a lot. I mean, those are 900 people that are out of work and having a hard time with their families, but they're in the thousands. I mean, they've lost 12,000 workers in West Virginia. So I just don't want them to have a false hope that it's going to come back to where it was. You know, and I use these two stats lately. You know, when Obama took office in 2009, 2008 coal production for the country was 1.2 billion tons. Last year was 739 million. You know, that's the legacy that Obama left for the coal industry in this country, and it's not a good picture. So we do need some good stories. We need some feel good stuff. But I warn people, we're not coming back to 1.2 billion because we've already lost. You know, there's 400 power plants shut down in the last 6 years, Tom.
Yeah,
100,000 megawatts of baseload power off of coal gone, and that's not coming back.
It's now 7:33. Phil Gannett, the Illinois Coal Association president. Phil, always.